Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Biggs A.
Morning, Brad.
What's going on?
You know, I'll tell you what's going on. The Bears are back on the road. You're the one who told us the horrible statistic about them on the road. I don't like that statistic, and I don't like the fact that they've struggled as much as they have on the road under this administration, but I've been accused of using that as justification for feeling that they can't play on the road and the teams are different every year. I know there are different teams, but I do think teams take some time to learn some of the intricacies of the NFL, and one of the things is winning on the road. And what are they going to have to do to make sure that they win this game on the road?
Yeah, that's a good point, because they have been so bad away from Soldier Field. I don't know that I put a ton of stock into it. And they played poorly at Indianapolis, right? Mm-hmm. And a game they should have won. And they were playing a pretty good Houston team the week before that. In terms of the first year and a half of Matt Eberflus, they were a really bad football team. You could play at Soldier Field. You could play on the road. You could go neutral site in Tokyo. They were probably going to get beat pretty soundly. They didn't have a good roster and weren't playing well. Since then, yeah, they've got to get better on the road, and that starts Sunday in that late afternoon slot. Like, you know, not everybody's going to be watching, but a lot of people are going to be watching. And this is a really interesting matchup, because I think Washington, in many respects, is in the same boat. They haven't played anyone. I was talking to a guy last night. He said, well, what have the Commanders done well defensively to this point? And guy thinks about it for a minute, and he said, well, play bad quarterbacks.
That helps.
And to a degree, that's what the Bears have done, and they did encounter C.J. Stroud, and last night we saw what Matthew Stafford looks like when he's got actual wide receivers to throw to. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua missing that game against the Bears. So it's a fascinating game, because I think both teams want to see – where they're at, and probably would acknowledge that the schedule has been a little soft to this point. It doesn't matter who you're lining up against. You still got to go out and beat them. And these guys have been doing a pretty good job of that this season.
Brad, on Thursday, we heard from Montez Sweat, and it's been about a year since the Bears traded for him. You could make the argument that it was Ryan Poles' second most impactful trade. I liked what he had to say and the way that he phrased it in terms of understanding why the Commanders did what they did and not taking it personally, but all the things that bring him to Sunday in his revenge game. Has he had a good year? Do you think that his numbers reflect kind of the season he's having? How would you evaluate Montez Sweat as we sit here today?
Well, he's had a huge impact. Like, statistically, you don't have what anyone's hoping for to this point, but I kind of liked what he had to say yesterday about, you know, just how it's so much more fun this year because they're winning, right? And he was on some teams that did a lot of losing in Washington, and, you know, the Bears were in a very big hole when they acquired him last year, right? So his impact has been huge for this defense. And I know the stats maybe don't shine when you talk about him having two and a half sacks to this point, I think he's got three quarterback hits, a couple pass deflections. But he's drawn so much attention. It raises his presence clearly raises the level of play of that group. And I would imagine that the Commanders have a concerted effort to ensure that Montez Sweat doesn't beat them routinely on Sunday. I think they'll probably assign some chip help there.
When you think about the quarterbacks in the game, obviously we'll learn more about Jaden Daniels today, and we will find out. Maybe if he can't play, then I know he's going to give it a go. If he can't do it, I don't think there's any way he's going to play on Sunday. I think they might even announce it today if that's the case. But I think they'll try to keep it under wraps. And I would suspect that part of the league is playing, and he'll want to try to play. And then as far as Caleb is concerned, you know, this is another opportunity. I know he downplayed going home, and I'm sure, like, emotionally he won't be overcome by anything, but he is going home, and it is part of his history. And I'm sure as a guy that tends to sort of strip down his role to the basics, I have to win for the Bears, that's a good way of going about it, but it's a way of keeping your emotions in check.
Yeah, and he seemingly does a good job of that with everything. I think a lot of people will be seeing what kind of information comes out of Washington later on in the day as Daniels attempts to practice, but you're going to have basically, it's the same offense. They're not changing the offense if one guy's in there and the other isn't. And one thing that's interesting, talking to a guy who's watched them play, is he thought their passing game had a lot better timing and rhythm with the rookie than the veteran. And maybe that's because Mariota hadn't had a lot of time out there this season with that team, but said there were too many instances last week against the Panthers of Mariota extending plays, which he was able to get away with doing that because they were playing Carolina, might not work or be as effective against this Bears defense if Mariota is indeed the starter and if he's continuing to try to extend plays out of the pocket.
What did you hear Thursday from Shane Waldron that stood out? And why do you think the Bears continue to struggle scoring points in the first quarter?
Well, the first quarter thing's simple. I mean, it's really simple. They're 3-for-16 on third down in the first quarter. So that does it for you right there. Their lone touchdown drive in the first quarter this season was a 7-play, 70-yard drive. DJ Moore caught a touchdown pass. They did not hit third down on that drive. So that's been the killer. I think you and then you say, okay, well, why have they been brutal on third down in the first quarter? And then you got to go in and you got to look at the individual plays. Okay, well, this was third and eight. They got a 6-yard gain or whatever. They were, missed blocking assignment here on a third and four. So that's what that comes down to. I don't think it's any more complicated than that, but they've been, and truthfully, Dave, they haven't been great on third down, period. Like, it's not like they get outside of the first quarter and they start cooking on third down. That's an area which I think they would very much like to get better at here in the near future. You know, that's something they're – let me find it here, guys, because it's not good. I can tell you that much. But Waldron talked – he's talking about communication. He's talking about two-way communication, not just coach to player, but taking the feedback that they get from the players and adapting. And I didn't think there was anything revelatory yesterday that that Waldron had to say, but they've been playing better, and he definitely deserves some credit for that. They're 21st in the league on third down, converting 35.4% of the time, and that's the whole game. So obviously they get better after the first quarter, but that's not good. They actually, believe it or not, guys, they were 12th in the league on third down last year at a tick over 41%. So that's something they got to clean up if they want to start scoring points in the first quarter.
Brad, let's talk about Brisker. What does he have to overcome? It was interesting because I think Flusie said at the beginning of the week that it was a couple of things. And then the other element would be that guy hasn't practiced in a long time now. I mean, if you start thinking about him being concussed and not traveling to London, that's now a few weeks between games. Is he capable of going if he can get back immediately? And do you think he's more of a scratch? And I would add Kyler Gordon to that question. Is he also, given that he hasn't been able to play, is he kind of a questionable addition to this thing with a hamstring? Those things take time sometimes.
Yeah, I would say that given that neither one of them participated in practice yesterday, that it's not trending in the right direction. I wouldn't rule either out, but with the time Brisker's missed, with it being a concussion, with the fact that he hasn't been able to get out on the practice field and at least be limited yet, I'd be a little surprised at this point if he plays. And you know what? It's a concussion. Take your time. Be smart about it. It's not just a concussion. It's the third time in three seasons Jaquan Brisker has suffered a concussion. So he should probably want to proceed, you know, real carefully, because where it's not a big hit here or a big hit there. I think the real problem for these guys becomes when they start getting them right. More frequently, yes. Right? And yes. So that's the last thing you want to have happen for him. Gordon's a guy that soft tissue injuries have given him trouble, whether in the off season or training camp or during the year. And, you know, you don't want, and we've seen this happen a little, a time here, a time there with the Bears the past couple of years, where they brought a guy back and then the situation's cropped up again and then he's missing more time. So I think it's imperative that Gordon be available when they get into division play. So be smart about that, right? If he's close, but maybe he could use a little more time, why not? Because that's where they've got more depth than really any other place on the roster, in my opinion, is the secondary. And the replacements for both those guys, Elijah Hicks at safety and Josh Blackwell at nickel corner, I thought they both played really well. They like Reddy Stewart, who's on the practice squad as a nickel guy. Like, they've got talent there. And I realize the Commanders have done some really impressive things in the passing game so far, but they need to be smart. It's a long season, and you watch what happens last night. Darius saw the left tackle for the Vikings goes out. You just look at injuries popping up around the league, and you want to make sure you're healthy when it counts.
Brad, you look at the Commanders being the third most successful team running the football in terms of average yards per game, and you wonder how much of that is a revamped, retooled offensive line or the running backs, and how much of that is Jaden Daniels having almost 370 rushing yards, second most behind Lamar Jackson among NFL quarterbacks. Do the Bears have a good sense of that, and do you think they're most concerned about them controlling the line of scrimmage?
Well, you got it all starts with stopping the run, and the Bears did a better job of that against Jacksonville, but have had some issues earlier this year. And one of the things in looking at this game is Washington's got the effect of the athletic quarterback, Daniels. You're seeing in that aspect a lot of what the Bears benefited from with Justin Fields. The threat of the quarterback run opens up a lot of other stuff. and it allows you to win with you don't have to have the greatest running backs in the world or the greatest offensive line, and you can go out there and run for 3,000 yards. That's what the Bears did in 2022. They've got some really creative play designs with what they're doing running the ball in Washington. They're doing some really different stuff. They'll put two tailbacks in the backfield. They're using a lot of motion. They'll have linemen going one way, a tight end going another way. So I don't know that opponents have gotten a real beat on it yet. We'll see if the Bears have got some of it figured out. But I think it's certainly the athletic quarterback being the trigger man is a huge element to it. But credit to Cliff Kingsbury, because in talking to people, they think it's pretty creative what he's been able to do with that group to this point.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. All right, Biggsy, let's talk about him for a second. He was asked about his interview with the Bears and declined to answer, which is his option, but it was kind of weird. I mean, Flusie said at the beginning of the week that, yeah, they interviewed him, but, you know, they talked about Caleb, but then they just talked ball. They just ended up just talking ball. Do you know anything about that interview? Do you know anything about why he didn't want to talk about it? Was he a serious candidate for the job? Did he not feel like he was given a fair shake? What was that all about?
Yeah, I mean, those are all fair questions. Sometimes guys that even had good experiences at other places get like extra squirrely when they're asked about another place. Richard Hightower doesn't really refer to the 49ers when he talks about his past. You know, like, well, the previous team I worked for, and well, you know, you were with the 49ers. You could say the name of the team. So like it's not like you came from Green Bay and you know, they might revoke your parking pass, Richard, if you say the word Packers in the building. So I don't know if Kingsbury just wants to keep the focus on, you know, his players, his guys, what they're doing. It could be as simple as that.
All right, Brad. So I picked the Bears. Mully picked the Commanders. What do you pick?
Well, I'm interested to hear what our mutual friend Joe Fortenbaugh picks here at 7:40 this morning, guys. But I looked at this, spent some time going over it, and this with the idea that Daniels is healthy, okay?
Yeah.
Which we know he's – I don't think he'll be 100% if he plays, right? And I went ahead and picked the Bears, guys, because I think the defensive unit for them, and this is one of the things you've heard me talk about in the past, not every week, but in the past, their defensive unit for the Bears is the best outfit that's going to be of the four that's going to be on the field on Sunday afternoon. And I think it's good enough to be the difference in the ball game. And I've got some real questions about the Commanders' secondary. We saw those questions last year. They've still got a lot. I mean, it's really impressive what Adam Peters, the GM, has done there in a very short period of time with Dan Quinn. They've had one off season, okay, and they were coming from a dark spot there with a roster that wasn't good. So what they've been able to do this quickly is super impressive. You know, recall back to where the Bears were seven games in with Poles and Eberflus. So they've got a lot of work to do there. They need help on the defensive line. They need help in the secondary. I think the Bears win the ball game 27-20.
Beautiful.
All right. Good stuff,
All right,
Brad.
Biggsy. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Safe travels.
Yeah, have a good trip.
Have a great weekend, guys.